Welcome to Writers with Wrinkles, where authors Beth McMullen and Lisa Schmid iron out the wrinkles in writing, publishing, and everything in between, one podcast at a time.
Hi, friends. I'm Beth McMullen.
And I'm Lisa Schmid.
And we're the co-hosts of Writers with Wrinkles. This is season 3, episode 13. And today we're talking about the only thing that is inevitable in your writing career, and that is failure and rejection. It is the only thing you can hang your hat on. It's absolutely going to happen. In fact, the reason that we're talking about it today is because it just happened to us with our Cat's Rule picture book.
Sad face.
But actually, as rejections go, I want to say that this one, at least they sent us a rejection, because I know that some companies now feel so inundated with submissions that they can't even send you a rejection. So it was nice to close the loop on that. It did not provide any specific feedback. Sometimes you'll get a rejection and it will actually have feedback about what the editor or whoever was reading it didn't like. This one was just kind of a mass, you know, generalization, like, thank you, no thank you.
I was reading between the lines.
What did you see between the lines?
We love this. And then, but somebody didn't want it in the company. I don't know.
You were making up a scenario to go with our rejection. I think that's healthy.
I was just saying this. I just did an interview a few minutes ago where I'm at a point, I just don't take rejections personally. I just take my ego out of it. And I just know that there's so many brilliant writers out there. It is what it is. It's just part of being there. It's part of being in this space.
It's interesting that you say that, because we pulled together a few little tips on how to take rejection and deal with it and not let it derail you. And the first one is exactly what you're just saying. So you got to reframe the rejection. It's not a reflection of your worth as a writer or a human being. It's not personal. And I think if you take it personally, then it really eats away at you, and it can make it so that you don't want to do this anymore. And that's not the point of rejection. You know, it could have been a timing issue. It can be a mismatch with the publisher. It could be that they already have a book like that on their catalog for whatever season it is that you're pitching yours. It's important to reframe it and potentially use the rejection to refine what you're working on and maybe adjust who you're targeting so you find the right audience. There's a way to use rejection to be motivating rather than debilitating.
Ooh, that's a good way to wrap up that little portion. It's true. Yeah. Anytime I've ever got one, I was like, okay, thank you, next. But that's always been my attitude. Thank you, next. Let's just keep going. And that served me well. And so I encourage all our listeners to just take that kind of attitude. It's like, okay, thank you. I'm moving on. You know, what can I work on? How can I make myself a better writer and maybe get a yes on the next one?
Look forward, not back.
Exactly. And I think, you know, when you have those are excellent opportunities to learn from your failure. Did you get specific feedback? Was there anything there that can help you improve your story? And if not, analyze the work itself. Was the pacing off? The characters underdeveloped? Learn from the missteps and make your next piece stronger. I always recommend, or I always suggest, you know, doing queries in small batches, maybe of like 5 or so, so that if you get 5 rejections or 5 dead silence, you know, nothing's coming back, crickets are chirping in your ear, there's something wrong. You know, use that opportunity to, you know, continue working on that story and making it better. Just because you failed this time doesn't mean it's going to continue failing. You just got to find the right spot and make sure it's the best piece that can possibly be.
And if you get feedback, somebody on the other end has spent time and energy crafting that feedback for you to use. And it would be insane not to consider it, even if it ends up being something that you don't use to make changes. You've got to think about it and consider it and maybe use it, because somebody on the other end liked your stuff enough to feel like they wanted to contribute to the next iteration of it. My agent told me this funny story once. This was a bunch of years ago, and she had gotten a submission from this guy and, you know, some kind of adult fiction. I forget what the details were. And she read it and she sent him back some suggestions, as in, you know, these are a few things that I would try to improve. Now, she didn't make him an offer. She wasn't going to take him as a client, but she was going to give him valuable time and energy of her own to help him improve his product, you know, his writing. And he wrote back to her a rebuttal, arguing every single point that she had made and telling her that she was wrong. Okay, listeners, never, ever, ever do that. Like, you can pass on the suggestions, but don't ever find yourself in an argument with an agent or an editor about suggestions. I was so blown away, because that is something it would never occur to me to do that.
No. Well, and I've seen people post on Twitter where they're offended by an agent's comments, like that they came back with feedback and they didn't agree with it and they even posted it. And I'm just thinking, oh my God, this agent just like gave you so much good feedback and you're like looking a gift horse in the mouth and like pinching it.
Exactly, which is directly linked to our next little tip, which is that rejection is inevitable. You have got to develop a thick skin. So don't see an agent rejecting you and giving you specific feedback on how to improve as negative. See it as a positive. They cared enough to spend their time and energy giving you the feedback. So take it. Be grateful for it. It's going to make your manuscript stronger. And maybe on the next round, you land your dream agent or dream publisher or whatever. Successful authors face countless rejections. It's just part of the process. So instead of focusing on that, think about the journey of writing and not just the destination. The journey is going to improve your writing. It's going to make your story better. It's going to get you closer to your destination, but you have to lean into that journey. Otherwise, your ultimate product is not going to be great and you're going to be a hot mess. Like, you're going to be miserable. So, you know, build resilience. Think about the ideas behind growth mindset and how you can frame the situation in a way that's going to contribute to a positive experience and a positive result.
Absolutely. And I know it's discouraging to get the rejections, but you know, anytime I got those, I just thought, you know what? I'm in the game. Like, I'm playing and I'm here and I'm present. I literally just had this conversation with my son the other day. It was about him doing homework. And so I said, it's not about the grade. It's about the work that takes to get there. And this is exactly what I told him. I'm not a better writer than the next person, or my ideas aren't greater than anybody else's. But to succeed, you got to stay in the game and you got to be resilient, and you can't let the little punches like knock you down. You just got to keep going and you got to do the work and you got to take steps, and then you'll eventually get there.
I mean, think about it. In order to get rejected, you have to have completed a manuscript. Right. Which puts you way out ahead of most people who say, I want to write a book. You know, 99% of those people never are going to do it, but you've sent your stuff to an agent, which means you actually finished the book. Is it perfect? No. Is it done? Yes. So you have something to show. So I think celebrating those wins, right, along the way, that you finished the book, you have a draft to work on, you're sending it out. Like you said, you're in the game. I think that's huge to keep in mind.
Yeah. Anytime you get those no's that come in the email and you feel distraught or sad, you know, be sad for a second and then brush it off. It is sometimes a numbers game. You know, you have to keep digging away until you find that person that falls in love with your work and you you eventually will. And that's such a great place to finally end up. I just did an interview with somebody that was interviewing me, and she had just gotten the call, and we went through, you know, what she was going through and that moment for her. And it's very exciting. You know, I think it's a stunning moment where you're just like, I just got the call. And I think, you know, when I got the call, I of course called you and said, I got the call, but she had a million no's along the way, like we all did. And so you're in exactly the same spot we all were at one time. And I think that's the way to think about it. It's like every author, every book that you see out there, the million rejections and no's that they hit along the way to getting published is countless. Like we've all, I don't even know how many rejections I've got. I was never that one to count them, but there was a lot.
So my first book that I wrote that never saw the light of day, never got published, I sent it out to, oh my gosh, so many agents. And that, you know, it was long enough ago that they would send you a piece of paper for your rejection. In fact, they would ask you in your sample of your manuscript to include a self-addressed stamped envelope so that you were paying for them to send you the rejection. I always really loved that. Like, okay, I just paid, you know, however much the cost of a stamp for you to kick me in the teeth. That's awesome. Anyway, I saved them all, and they were like literally scraps of paper because they wouldn't even give you a full sheet of paper. It was like a piece of paper kind of chopped awkwardly into thirds. And it was like a photocopy of the rejection. And it was just like a paragraph of, you know, stock language saying, thanks, no thanks. And I kept them all in a big envelope, and there were like 50. And when I first started writing for adults and I would go out and do, you know, book talks and whatever, I would take them with me and I just dump them out, like, so people could see, you know, every single one of these was a rejection. And that was just part of the process. That was that step that I was taking. I had to get over that situation of complete rejection for that book. And I had to get to the point where I had to decide, am I going to quit because obviously I suck at this? Or am I going to say, okay, I suck at this now, maybe later I'm going to get better, you know? And obviously I kept going, but it's like a pretty vivid illustration of what you have to climb over if you want to get to where you're going.
Very similar story. That was at a conference, and there was, I can't remember, it was a keynote speaker. So she's clearly somebody who is very successful. And she was talking about rejections. And he had like a scroll. They took the end of the scroll and they took it from the stage and unraveled it. Like it was this long, like, you know, line of rejection letters that she had taped together. And it stretched all the way down the audience. It was a huge auditorium, like down the front center aisle and like out the door. And it was a perfect illustration of like how many rejections it took her to get to her first yes. And so if you're like 10 rejections in, even like 50, you know, it's okay. I always remember that. And it really stuck with me.
It's pretty vivid.
It is. It was very vivid. And I think you were actually at that conference with me.
I was. I don't remember who it was, but I remember thinking, wow, this is a really clever way of illustrating your point, because yeah, it was like the red carpet. It was like a red carpet of rejections.
Yes, that was it. It was the red carpet of doom. It really was.
It's like so rough, but it was a good way to look at it. One other thing to remember is that you're not the only one, obviously, going through this. Tons of people are writing, tons of people are submitting, and tons of people are getting rejected all the time. So find yourself other writers who understand your struggle, because the non-writers in your life, they can understand, but they're not going to feel it in the same way that somebody who is kind of in the trenches with you will. So, you know, find a writing community online or in person, share your victories, share your successes, share your rejections. And that is a network that will be supportive of you when you do get that yes, and you do end up getting a book on the shelves. Those are people who are going to be in your corner, and you will be in their corner likewise. So find that community, use that community, and don't quit, right? We're not going to quit.
No, not at all. It's worth the wait. It's worth the fight. You'll find the way. You just got to keep plugging away at it.
I honestly think it's a endurance game.
Yeah.
It is setting your sights on the long-term goals that you're going to stay in this for as long as it takes you to achieve what you want to achieve. And that can take a long time. There's no guarantee that it happens quickly. But this is our pep talk episode. So whenever you're feeling like, I don't want to do this anymore, it sucks, then you just come back, you just flag this episode and you come back and you listen and then you get back on the horse and you keep riding, right?
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, when I'm feeling bummed out about something or I've had a rough day in the sub trenches or, you know, even when I was doing querying, I would always call Beth and whine.
I'm good for it.
She was kind of my go-to. And it's good to have that person that you go and you whine to and you get it all out. And then you know, they're going to give you a pep talk and they're going to get you back in the game. You need that person. Like, that person needs to be a writer. They need to understand what you're going through. Because if somebody isn't in the publishing game, if they're not a writer and they're not trying to do this, they will never understand.
Because we're all such over-emotional creatures, right?
That's true.
It's true. It's funny. It's the truth. That's just the way it is.
I feel like I'm in a constant, like, a circle of pep talks. You know, it's like one day it's me down. The next day it's, you know, somebody else down. And it's almost like you hit record and then play back. It's like, well, your yes is on its way. It's, you know, it's coming for you. It's just like, we're all like doing that. It's like the circle of life in writing.
It seriously is. It's your turn eventually. Sometimes it's not your turn. Sometimes it is your turn. That is part of it. So keep all of these things in mind as you travel your writing submission journey and always try to face forward and not look back and overanalyze too much the things that you feel have gone sideways. It takes a lot of energy. It's not productive. So that is it for today's pep talk. We hope it helped you iron out some of the wrinkles. And listeners, please remember to visit writerswithwrinkles.net and find out how to support the show by subscribing, following, and recommending. And join us next week for episode 13, where we're talking to Lisa Riddio, who is big into rhyming picture books and is going to have all sorts of stuff that we need to know for us. And until then, happy reading, writing, and listening. Bye, Lisa.
Bye, Beth. Bye, guys.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Writers with Wrinkles. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. This helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.